the older I get, I appreciate things that, you know, my mom did, my dad did, and when I was growing up, I didn't appreciate it that much, and hopefully the Lord is working in my heart, changing my heart to be more like His Son, and that's what I want to be. I don't want to be more like me, I want to be more like Christ, but the great thing about God, He wants you to be who you are, how you were made. Don't try to change or be somebody else. Be who you are in the Lord Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, be who you are in the Lord Jesus. I think it's encouraging. And so I wanted to give you some encouragement about, you know, sometimes we have trials and tribulations. How many of you have been through some trials in life? Amen?
Amen.
I'm not the only one, okay? So you're not alone. I'm not alone. But the people in the Bible like David, I'm going to read about David when he was suffering some really difficult times in his life. Everybody says, well, you become a Christian and all things get good. No, I didn't find that verse anywhere. Where is that verse at? In fact, when the apostles became Christians, they converted from different religions and beliefs. So they were all tortured for their belief. Their life didn't become a bed of roses. And so, I want to give you some encouragement through the Word, and David is having a difficult time here. But, it gets good. Say, it gets good. God doesn't never leave us hanging. So I want to encourage you a little bit about, if you're going through a trial, don't worry. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't worry.
Don't worry.
She gets it? No worries when you're in the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to read from Psalm 30. I love this psalm. Psalm 30, I love it. It's only 12 verses. Somebody says, I don't have time to read the Bible. Wow, you got 5 minutes? It just takes 5 minutes to be blessed. If you can't read the Bible, get somebody to read it to you. If you can't find anybody to read it to you, get it on earplugs, CDs. Y'all would probably say, do you have one of those cassettes? My sermons now at sermonaudio.com. I didn't know where to put my sermons. I recorded them all over, you know, for years, and I didn't know what to do with them. And finally, this sermon site comes up, and people all over the world are hearing my little old me in Africa and Iceland and Australia. I'm going like, what are these people doing? They're listening, dropping their sermons on their cell phone. If you have a cell phone, you can listen to my sermons. It's crazy. It's crazy good. So, and some people are listening to sermons that don't have electricity. Well, wait a minute, you need electricity to run a cell phone. You got to juice it up. Say, juice it up. Juice it up. But a lot of them run on solar panels. So you don't need no electricity. Got a solar panel on top of a hut that's powering the cell phone, and you can sit there and listen to a sermon around with your family. That's how technology has benefited the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And I get a lot of downloads, and I'm very, very, very thankful to God for allowing me to. I can't go to everywhere, but man, people from all over the world, I don't say, what? Why is this person in Japan listening to my sermons? Why is this person in Australia listening to my sermons? I have no idea. What I know, they're available. You got to make yourself available to God. He doesn't want your perfection. He doesn't want your abilities. He wants your availabilities. Say availability. And David is going through a difficult time in Psalm 30. He says, for the dedication of the temple, this is his dedication of the temple of David. He says, I will exalt you, Lord, in verse 1. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Woo! How many of you had some enemies in your life before? People that don't want the best for you? Don't have to be somebody shooting at you like a war. But a lot of people don't want the best for you because either they're jealous of what God is doing in your life, or they're just lazy. One thing I like about our ministry, we're not lazy Christians. Lazy Christians will not last in our ministry. We're at ladies' prisons. We're here at seniors. We're at the homeless women and children. We will be wherever God wants us to be. If you're a lazy Christian, you're not going to last very long. We're workers. Jesus said, I've come to serve, not to be served. Now, I guarantee you this. Don't tell anybody. But when I die, it's going to be great. I don't have to work no more. I'm going to be at peace and rest. And that's going to be for eternity, too. And he says, out of the depths, you didn't let my enemies gloat over me. And he says in verse 2, Psalm 30, Lord my God, say Lord my God.
Lord my God.
I called to you for help and you healed me. Glory to God. He called for God and God listened to him in his times of trouble. Woo! So call on the name of the Lord, and if you need to be healed, you don't need to go through a preacher. You don't even need to go to anywhere else except to the throne of grace. If you're a Christian, the great physician has healed you spiritually and soon physically too. Somebody said, well, I have a lot of physical problems here on earth. Well, you will. You certainly will. Well, here's one thing I know about healing. If God chooses not to heal you here with some of your health issues, I will guarantee you through the scriptures that you will be healed for eternity when you get to heaven.
Amen.
There's no walkers in heaven. No, amen to that. No wheelchairs in heaven. No doctor's lines. No ER visits. Because the great physician is Christ. Because of his death on the cross, we can be healed spiritually. And that's the most important thing. Because I promise you this too. If you get saved by grace through faith alone and Christ alone, you'll still have problems. So get saved first. What good is it to have a perfect health and have all the money in the world when it says it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Wait a minute. See, some of these preachers on TV are saying God wants you to be rich. Jesus just said it's going to be hard if you're rich to get to heaven. Hey, I'll collect my treasures when I get to heaven. That's all right. I may lack here today. I do lack at times, for sure. But he said in verse 3, you, Lord, brought me up from the rim of the dead. He felt like he was dying. How many of you just felt where you just felt like you were dying of something? Your mind, your emotions, your health. You brought me up from the rim of death. I felt like I was dying. You spared me from going down to the pit. You saved my life. And he was going through a difficult time. That's why I love this psalm so much. It encourages me. And then what does he do? Does he complain? I don't like complainers that much. I'll make a confession. I'm not a complainer. I don't like to be around complainers because they kind of drag you down. Oh, you know. I get it. But encourage somebody and be encouraged. Read Numbers 11. And they were complaining about not having meat. God gives them meat and they still complain. They're all out in the desert. He takes care of them for 40 years. They still ain't happy and they still complain. I try not to complain, even when I'm having troubles. This is what he does after all this. Sing praises of the Lord. You, his faithful people, praise his holy name. Just say praise God. Say it. Praise God. Say it louder. Praise God. Say it one more time. Praise God. See, we can praise God through our troubles. And you know what? That's the sacrifice of praise. When you can praise God and lift your hands up to God and thank Him when you're having difficult challenges in your life, that's the sacrifice of praise. Woo, God loves that too. And you can praise Him when things ain't going right. Mm-hmm. Makes Him happy, I promise you. For His anger lasts only for a moment. Now, David has been chastened here. See, that's like, well, a Christian is, well, God's the Father. He's your father if you're a Christian, so he's going to chasten you when you get off the track. How many of you have kind of stepped off the track from time to time? Am I the only one? Oh, I got to go hide now. I stepped off the track. And if you said you had, you're lying, because the Bible said we're all like sheep and have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own ways from time to time. What's good about it is hopefully you have a good conscience, and when you step off the track and you're going in your own direction, your conscience that God gave you will tell you, don't go there. Don't do that. Come in. Oh, no doors were. And he says, singing praises to the Lord. For his anger lasts only for a moment. It doesn't mean God is angry at you. He's just going to chasten you like my dad did. How many of you had parents that were a little on the disciplinarian side? Is that was old? It's old school. It's old school. Not so much now, but I had a dad that was very old school when it came to discipline. You know why? Because his father was old school with discipline. So God will discipline, and David has gone through some trials and tribulations, and he says, for his anger, God's anger will only last for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. See, you're going to see, if you're a Christian, you're real, real close to living eternity in paradise with God, being like Jesus forever, and not having a problem in the world. Not having to worry about temptation, denying sin, or having bad thoughts, or anything. You're going to be in a perfect, what I call a perfect society. And you're going to be perfect too. That's encouraging. I need that. Weeping may stay for the night. Y'all know this. This is very famous. Weeping, if you weep, it's only going to be for the night. But rejoicing comes in the morning. Let it happen. Let it happen. God has seen and captured all your tears in a bottle. Now, have you cried by yourself? Have you cried yourself to sleep when nobody was around? Only God knows every tear you've ever shed. Hallelujah. He knows when you've gone through tough times, and your ex-husband or your boyfriend or your family or whoever, they haven't been there for every second of every moment of every day. But God knows. He knows your feelings and what you're going through. That's some good preaching. I might have to sign the back of my own Bible on this one. I've been reading this all week. Just this one song. Just say one song, Marie. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. My security is in Jesus Christ. It's not in my abilities, even though I have God-given abilities. We all do. We all do somewhere. Somebody has God-given. Well, that's why we take people from the ministry and we try to connect them to their spiritual gifts for the glory of God. So Ready to Go Ministries is designed so, oh, you play the violin? Come on in. You like to sing? Oh, come on in. You like to knit caps for babies' heads in the wintertime? We're around a lot of babies. Come on in. Using your spiritual gifts for the glory of God is always, I say. Lord, when you favored me, say, I'm favored. Mm-hmm, I like that. A little favor, yeah. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are favored. You made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was a little dismayed. Now God, again, is chastening David. He's supporting David. David is a child of God, but he wants to have a closer relationship with God even though he's having problems. That's when you're going to get closest to the Lord, when you're having the worst difficulty of your life. And like me, I can be hard-headed. My mom and dad, when it was my mom, you're hard-headed. She would tell me, I think she would say, why are you so hard-headed? That's an old-school term, you know. You have to tell. If you tell somebody over and over to do something, and they just, I don't want to do it. Now, I wouldn't say that to my dad. He told me one time. He told me one time to take out the trash, my dad. And I put it off till when it was convenient for me. I learned quickly. Take out the trash means take out the trash now. I just say, I'm glad I was raised that way too. To you, Lord, I called to you, Lord, and I cried for mercy. Mercy. What do we need mercy for? Mercy is something we do not deserve. It's something that God gives us, that favor of when we do wrong. He's still merciful to us. We don't deserve it, but in Christ Jesus, we have all the good things that God has for us. He wants mercy. He's not asking for more money. He's not asking for more things. He's not asking him to be comfortable. He just says, I've cried out to God for mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on my soul. I need mercy today. We all need mercy. That was verse 8. This is awesome psalm, isn't it? Psalm is kind of in the middle of the Bible in the Old Testament. He said, what is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will I praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? What did he mean by that? If I am silenced, see, this is interesting about this. He loves to tell people about God and the goodness of God and the greatness of God. And he's asking God here a question, what is it going to be gained if I'm silenced, if I die? Or if I get too sick to do your work? He said, what is that to gain? He wanted to tell people about God and how merciful God is. Now we talk about Jesus, because Jesus, we were New Testament Christians, but he said, what's it going to do? If I get down to the pit, if I die and get off this earth, and the dust goes over my body, I can't really proclaim your faithfulness anymore. I like that. I think God wanted that from him, to hear that from his heart. Lord, I've got work to do. I got people I want to tell them about you and how good you are, that salvation comes as a free gift. You cannot earn salvation. It comes through knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, through repentance of sin. And he wanted to tell more people, will it proclaim your faithfulness? See, he's calling them faithful, and he's saying, how can I praise you when I'm gone? How can people see me praise you and see you work in my life when I'm gone? He didn't want to go yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to go yet. I don't want to go yet. Whenever God takes me, that's the time it's meant for me. We're all meant to go sometime. I don't want to go yet. I got some things to say, some things to do, but that's up to God. But that's what he's saying to God. And watch him here in verse 10. I love this. It's just three more verses. Hear. Say, hear. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you hearing? Do you hear? Hear, Lord. I love this simple stuff. He wants God to say, he doesn't want God to miss out on what he's got to say to him. Of course, God can't miss out on anything. He's omniscient and omnipresent. But he's sharing his heart and being real about his relationship with God. He says, hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. He uses mercy twice. What's he trying to say? Am I getting the message, y'all? Does he want some mercy from God? Where is he at in his life? Yes, he needs mercy from God. We all need mercy from God. But he says it again, be merciful to me, Lord, and be my help. Be my help. What, if God is for you, who can be against you? You know, people, I've been through so much as a Christian. People, enemies, backstabbers, people that were your friends and they became not, for whatever reason. But a lot of times God puts us through these difficult challenges with people and situations to see what we say back to him. And look at David when he was having troubles in his life, and maybe he was having some sin problems in his life too. He says, hear, Lord. Hear me, Lord. Do you hear me, Lord? Of course he hears him. But he felt better by saying that, and I believe that God inclined his ear. I love it when God says, just leans over and says, what you got to say? What you got to say? And God wants to hear our hearts, even though he knows our hearts and he made our hearts. He knows our hearts. He said, will you be my help, Lord? Will you be merciful to me, Lord? Will you hear me when I cry out for you, God? Because who's going to come to your rescue when nobody else is around? When your family's somewhere else? When your friends have gone home early and you're by yourself and you need help and you need healing? Where are you going to go? Well, in Christ, you can go directly, it says in the Bible, directly to the throne of grace. Directly. This is a mind blow. See, that I as a Christian through Christ can go directly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, be merciful to me. Jesus is my high priest. Jesus is my advocate. Is he your advocate too? Psalms 30:11. You turn my crying. Oh my, here we go. We're going to close up. We're going to close up with some fireworks. You turn my crying into dancing. To this. Gonna love in you. Gonna get lost in you. See the difference? Don't give up on God when you're crying and you're wailing. He says, you turn my crying, my wailing into dancing. It's gonna happen. Give God the opportunity. You know, some people just give up on God because, well, I ain't getting blessed now. God ain't blessed me now, so I'll just do my own thing. Hold on. That's not what David is doing. He knows that he needs to be chastened by God. He knows that God is merciful to him. He said, God, hear my voice. Be merciful to me. And yes, I was crying for a long time, but you turned my crying into dancing. Who would rather dance than cry? Anybody? Yeah? I know somebody here that would rather dance for sure. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with $1,000 suit. No, that's not what it says. Somebody else said, no, that's not what it says. I was waiting for that, but I didn't get it. It says, you turn my crying into dancing. We got that. You remove my old sackcloth, spiritually speaking. He's talking spiritually. He says, this sackcloth is a sign of just nothing much. But he says, you removed my sackcloth, and what did you do? You leave me stranded and naked? No. He says, you removed my sackcloth, and you clothed me with joy. You clothed me, Lord, with joy? That's what I want the most. I want to be at peace when I'm having troubles. I don't need a bigger car. I don't need a bigger house. I just need some ice cream every now and again. Some candy. But he clothed him. He took his sackcloth of his humility and his brokenness, and he put on the cloak of joy. Could you imagine how David must have felt when God clothed him in the garments that God made for him? I'm talking spiritually, not this cheap jacket I've got on. You removed my sackcloth and ashes, and you clothed me with joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, joy! Do you have joy? Joy! I want joy. I want peace. I want to be kind. I want to love my fellow man more. I want to love people that don't love me. I want to love my neighbor as myself. I want to pray for my enemies that persecute me. But he clothed them with joy, God did. See, he's just coming home with the good news. And then the final verse, it goes by fast, 30:12. And that my heart may sing your praises. Oh, my. He's gone through all this stuff. He's probably running from his enemies. He may have some sin issues going on in his life. God is chastening him, but God never left him. He was just acting as a father would. And he always speaks about the heart from the heart. Verse 30:11 again, it says, that my heart, point to your heart. Is it beating? Is it still beating? Mine's beating kind of fast. Going a while. It's beating. One day it'll stop. And when it's time, I'll be with the Lord. But my heart, my soul, my essence of my person, not the actual organ, but who I am, my heart, may sing your praises. Really? Really, David? You go through all those troubles and things are not going right with you and you've got all this and that and you're being chastened by God, but your heart's going to sing praises to the God that loves you no matter what? Yep. That my heart may sing. I love that song. I'm not a singer. It goes, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Even though I can't sing, I know you think it's great. And may it be a sweet. Say sweet, y'all. May it be a sweet. Say sweet. And may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears.
Come on.
Very seldom people get to see me to sing. Amen? That my heart may sing your praises, and I just did that. And not be silent. I'm not going to be silent. You know what? I'm going to tell people the good news that said, hey, man, where are you going to go when you die? Well, I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I'm a good person. Really? Really? You're a good person? How good do you have to be good officially? Oh, I'm better than him or her. Well, you're better than Jesus. He was perfect. He was without sin. He lived in word, thought, and deed without sin. He lived in the flesh as a man. God came to earth as a man. Are you going to be him? And he went to the cross for nothing if you can get to heaven by being a good person after Jesus is a sacrifice for you? I don't say it like that when I'm one-to-one. You know, you're more just like, it's not, you don't preach one-to-one. You talk to people, but you try to make them know that this is why you need Jesus, because you've sinned against a holy God. You've lied, you've stolen, you've committed adultery. You've blasphemed the name of God, the God that gave you life and gave you taste buds and gave you irises in your eyes to see beautiful sunsets, and you've cursed Him. And they go, I never thought of it that way. And I said, well, you need to think of it that way because that's how it's written in the Bible. You need to get right with God. And then he says, my last, I'll close for the first time, and I won't close for the second or third or fourth time like I normally do. My heart may sing your praises, and I did. Hopefully you can too. But I'm not going to be silent. It's not going to happen. Now, not everybody's an A personality. I'm a double A, actually. I actually met a guy that's a triple A. I mean, he's high strung. I thought I was high strung. He's high strung. So everybody has an A personality, B personality. Some are more quiet than others. He said, but I'm not going to be silent. You may talk to people about God the way you're inclined to, but share the good news with somebody, y'all. Because what good is it for me to have the cure for cancer in my pocket? And for me to walk up and down the hospital here with the cure of cancer in my pocket and walk up and down the hallways of a cancer ward and keep it to myself. I would be the worst hypocrite. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Here's the cure for cancer, but I'm just a little too nervous to share it with you. You can tell I'm an evangelist. Evangelists teach people to witness. Not everybody is an evangelist. I've taught evangelism all my life, all my Christian experience. He says, I'm not going to be silent. So take it. So there. I'm going to be gentle. But if somebody is proud and self-righteous, watch out. If they're meek and humble, give them the good news of the gospel. If they're like, I'm going to heaven. I don't need Jesus. Oh, yes, you do. And I'll tell you why. You're a liar. Have you ever lied? Yes. Have you ever stolen? Yes. Then you're a liar and a thief. Is that good or bad? And the Bible says all liars and thieves will spend eternity in hell. Is that a place you want to go, sir or ma'am? No, of course not. Well, that's why you need Jesus. Make it make sense to people. You make the cure for cancer available to those who want it. But you've got to make it available to them. And that may take some doing. You know what? You may stumble. You may fall. You may trip. But again, when we first started the sermon, God wants your availability, not your ability. If He wanted me to witness and work and service work to Him and do what I do perfectly, He would make angels and have them do it perfectly. He don't want no angels doing this work. He wants flawed people like me and you to do the work of God and to bring people to a knowledge of Christ. That's a good analogy. And I'll close for the second time. I missed it. It's the last sentence of the Psalm 30. Read it, read it. Have your family read it to you. Have your caretaker read it to you. Have your brother, sister read it to you. It just takes 5 minutes. I'm preaching it, so it takes long. The last thing he says, Lord my God. He said that before, but he's just saying it again. Who is your God? Who is your Lord? God, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom is my God, and Christ is my Savior. He has saved me from all my sins and the penalty of dying in my own sins and dying in the consequences of sin is a terrible thing. Don't die and stand before God. And Jesus said, people are going to stand before me when they die thinking, man, I'm in it. I got into heaven. I'm a good person. And Jesus says back in Matthew, he says, yeah, you said, Lord, Lord. Yeah. You cast out demons in my name. Yeah. You did all those good works that you thought were so good. But he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. That's something that nobody needs to hear from God. And you know what's the good news? God doesn't want to say that to anybody. That's the good news. He wants everybody to come to the kingdom of God. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Hell was not invented, if you will, for anyone except for the devil himself. It's God's will that all come to repentance and come to a knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ. Wow. It's God's will that everybody? Yep. Will everybody get to heaven? Nope. I'm glad God got a hold of me when he did. It's always the right time, but the perfect timing when God gets a hold of you about something. It's always the perfect time because God is perfect. Lord my God, I've said it, but I'll say it again. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Psalm 30. That is a powerful, powerful, powerful meditation. I preached this before, but as I say in some of my sermons, back in the day, I used to preach from knowledge. And now, as I get older and gray, and older and gray, it seems I'm preaching more from knowledge and experience. It makes a big difference. David had experienced some tough times in his life, some chastening from God, some running from his enemies from God, but he understood that he was not going to desert God and turn around and go the other way. Even though he was being chastened by him, he knew that God loved him, always will, and the last thing he says, Lord my God, I will praise you forever. You give me joy in my heart, God, when nobody can do that. And through Christ Jesus, you can have joy in your heart too. Will life be perfect? No. Will I say, come to Jesus, and then all your problems will be solved? No. Will I have an altar call and say, oh, look at all these people that I affected and ask you for that formality? No. I always say, do it where you sit. Trust in Jesus as your Savior where you sit or where you listen. Trust Him now. Cry out like David did, oh Lord my God, you clothe me with joy and you take my sackcloth of ashes and sin away from me and then you cleanse me through your Son that you know sin, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Psalms 30, that's how it reads and preaches from my point of view on this day. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. Son of God, Son of Man, son of David. And Father, if there's anyone listening to my voice that has never said yes to Jesus, they think they're a good person and they're going to heaven by being a good person, and maybe they are a pretty good person, but in the light of the sacrifice of the perfection of Jesus Christ and His sinless life, have they ever said, yes, Jesus, be my Savior? Well, maybe they've grown up in church all their life and they missed out on it, and the preacher didn't preach Jesus Christ and He had to be your Savior to enter the kingdom of heaven. Maybe they just slipped through the spiritual cracks. I pray that this psalm, not my personality or my energy, overshadowed what was in this scripture. Because the Word is flesh. It was made flesh. It was Jesus Christ. And it will bring us to a place of peace, joy, happiness, and most of all, eternal salvation. So if there's anybody that needs to know Jesus, Father, let them read Psalm 51 as their prayer. Maybe they said, yeah, I don't think I'm born again. Well, if you don't think you're born again, you're not born again. And anybody that's listening to the message that's kind of strayed away from the fold, maybe they're down the other side of the mountain, and you need to be on this side where the shepherd is, where Jesus is. Let them come back. Let them be refreshed as new. Even though they know You, they've wandered away. Maybe they stopped reading their Bible or listening to good, solid preaching. I hope they come back to You. Because we know that's where You want them, in Your fold. Father, we love You. We praise You. We thank You through all our troubles. And we give You all the glory in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen.